My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed for a while. The things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember them. Struggles may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, is destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing.
Hallelujah.
Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home.
Meet with me in your Bible to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John.
I'm going home.
Hallelujah. Church, listen to me. We're on the verge of a trip to the sky. And I want every one of you to be ready. I really want every one of you to be ready. I want you to be so faithful. I want you to be so faithful and so ready that it only takes just a... I don't want that trumpet to have to blow 10 seconds to get my attention. I want to hear it the first second it sounds. I want to be ready. I want to be sensitive. You know, being sensitive to the Holy Ghost is a lot like tuning a radio. If your radio is all out of whack, not half hooked up, you're not going to get much of a signal. And when you go to church all out of sorts and kind of half hooked up, it's hard to get in tune. It's hard to get a hold of what God's trying to do. And I want Him to do something grand this morning. I've reckoned it done. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Anybody remember the word reckon for Wednesday night? That's the highest level of faith. That's when you don't believe He can do it. You believe He's doing it. It's right. It's already. It's happening. Hallelujah. And I'm reckoning it. I really am. The book of 1 John. I'm going to preach kind of a little unusual, different sermon this morning, but I'm praying it will get a hold of your heart. 1 John chapter 2, and we will begin reading with verse 15. Verse 15. I want to read a lot of these verses, but I know that I can be long-winded if I don't be careful. So let me read to you just the main verses. I'm going to preach this morning, don't let yourself be captured by the world. Would you repeat those words with me? Don't let yourself be captured by the world. I want you to understand, I have a deep sense of what's happening in our world today, and I watch and I see so many captured by the world. Captured by the world. Not bad people. And we're not talking about somebody that's altogether backslid, certainly in the process, but they just get captured by the world. I see people in our preachers will talk about how certain people in the congregation have to pray through every time there's a revival. Every time there's a revival. I remember through the years of going to churches, they'd have a revival 3 or 4 times a year. They would say 30 got saved, and 3 years later, the congregation is still the same it was 3 years earlier. I can name the churches. And it wasn't sinners coming in and getting saved. It was their backsliders getting saved. And I can remember the church was just often a place of backsliders getting back to God. The members of the congregation, the people who sang in the choir, the people who were part of the church, and they were constantly allowing themselves to drift, to get off and get captured by the world. And so, would you pray for me this morning? I want to be good. I want to treat you right. But I really want to preach the truth that'll get a hold of your heart. And I want to warn you that you are, if you're a Christian, there is a war going on for your soul. There's a war both of the devil and a war of the world. The world is after you. I know Satan works through the world, but there is a distinction. And the devil will lay traps. With my wife gone, I have sensed how vulnerable I am. I've been wanting to do a couple of things that she and I used to do, and I'm not willing to do them because I would feel vulnerable. And it's true with all of us, though, in one form or fashion, we are vulnerable. We're in a world that wants you backslid. We're in a world that wants your attention. We're in a world that wants your love. And they're not going to be happy without it. Let me read and let you be seated. I'm sorry to be long here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen now. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's kind of heavy. If I said that to you of my own, it would probably bother you. But God said it, so you must not let it bother you. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I want to talk about the physical battle you have with yourself. Then I want to talk about the physical battle you have with the flesh and the world using your flesh, and just the spiritual side of the battle. And then I want to talk about the fact that if you do not have the love of God in you, if you are lukewarm, you're in trouble. And I want to try to end with us hungry to put the world to defeat and to win the spiritual war that we are involved in. You may be seated. Father, help your servant this morning by the power of your Holy Ghost to pour out the truth that you have poured in my heart. God, you poured it in there for me first, and I thank you. But I believe you now to pour it out here for this wonderful congregation of people that I love dearly. I claim a miracle, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to begin this morning and just talk about the natural realm of your spiritual life. The natural realm. And talk about the kind of things that you're going to struggle with. The kind of things you're going to deal with. And hopefully help you to set your course like a flint. To set your course with a devotion. There are several things, about six of them, that I want to speak of first in the natural. And these are extremely important to me. These are extremely important to me. Number one, I want you to say, the world is after you, and I want you to get that. The world is after you. They'll do anything they can. And any time you put the world and anything about the world ahead of Christ or the Bible, you're in trouble. Anytime you put anything about this world, anything the world offers, anything the world has, possessions, money, jobs, food, friends, I mean, just totally anything you put, anything that represents this world ahead of Christ the Lord and His Holy Bible, you're in trouble. Do you get that? Anybody hear that? Let me see your hand. Anything. Your time, your use of the Sabbath day, how you spend your money, what you buy, where you go, who your friends are, what you do with your friends, anything that the world offers you, anything that uses up you and your time and your energy, that differs, that conflicts with the Lordship of Christ or the truth of the Bible, you're falling into trouble. You're falling into trouble. I remember when I got saved, my family immediately began to announce, I guess they always had, I paid no attention. They began to announce picnics and birthday parties and reunions, and they'd always announce them for Sunday. Always. I mean, they lacked Sunday as a day to do these frolicky things. And I remember saying to them at the very beginning, I had committed myself to the church and to Christ, to the kingdom of God. I said to them, now, if you plan these things on Sunday, I won't be there. And it's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't want to be with you. But it's that I have an obligation to be in the house of God every Sabbath day. Not once in a while on the Sabbath. Not occasionally on the Sabbath. Not when it was convenient to go on the Sabbath. But because it was my life to go to God's house on the Lord's day. And I refuse to let anything take me away from God's house on the Lord's day. Oh, they fussed at me. They growled at me. They gave me a hard time. And I just stood my ground real kind. I never got mean with them. I never got ugly with them. I just said, I won't be there. I'm sorry. I'm committed to God's house on the Lord's day. And nothing is going to take me away from God's house. Now, I translated that into everything that had to do with my life. And I got in this Bible and I started reading what the Bible says about a godly life and a holy life and a clean life, a way to dress, a way to talk, a way to act, the places to go, everything. And I put Christ and His Lordship, the Bible and His truth at the forefront of my life. And I lived by it. And I've done that 66 years. And I want you to know that pays dividends. You talk about the Lord's day becoming precious. You set it apart. You make it what it ought to be. But that applies to every other part of your life. How you spend your money. The places you're going to go. The things you're going to do. Everything. Everything. Your life has to be measured by the Bible and the Lordship of Christ. And nothing can make you compromise those commitments. And that's what I call not letting the world capture your life. I don't want the world to capture my time. I don't want the world to capture anything about me. I don't want the world to capture where I go and set the pace for me and set the tune for me and decide for me what I ought to do with my time. No, no, no. The Lordship of Christ and the Word of God must guide every part of my life. Your life. So, that's a responsibility. Number two, the world is willing to buy you to get you on their side. Oh, Brother Chambers, now that's not possible. Don't tell me. I've known many people that the world just plain bought them. The world just plain bought them. I want to tell the world something in front of you this morning. I'm not for sale. How many of you will say I'm not for sale? Come on, say it out loud. I'm not for sale. You know, I remember, and you'll laugh at this one. I remember the first time I was called to preach at a pretty big church. That was a charismatic type church. And I decided I'd go preach. And I went and preached. I preached one sermon. They gave me $1,000. That's the first time something like that had ever happened to me. And it scared me to death. I come back home that evening, back in church that night. I took that $1,000 check and signed the back of it, and I put that check in the offering. My wife and I discussed it together. The devil wants to start buying me, and I want to make him know right this morning, I'm not for sale. He can give me the biggest offering that's possible, but I will not let it buy me and my favor and my attention and my lifestyle. Never, never, never. I'm not for sale. And I put it in the offering and shouted while I was doing it. I doubt anybody ever knew it. I don't know. I didn't try to tell it. I just wasn't for sale. The devil is after you in many ways if you are for sale. If you can be bought. If he can put the right thing in your hand to get you to let down a little bit. And be a little careless. And be a little lax, you know. Relax a little bit, Joe, they would say to me. You're too stiff about serving God. You're just so ironclad. I don't like it. I remember a preacher calling me and saying, why don't you compromise a little bit? I said, brother, what's wrong with you? How many can say I'm not for sale? Now this world will buy you. You'll become captured before you know it. I mean, really, I know people in this building who their company has offered them a big increase in salary if they would leave their church and go somewhere else. And they said no. That to me is what I mean when I say we're not for sale. Now, I don't mean it's wrong to change cities. It don't mean it's wrong to change jobs. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just telling you, don't sell out this lifestyle of surrender to the Lordship. Lordship. Notice that word. Lordship. Lordship. Say it with me. Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's in charge of everything that have to do with me. He's in charge of everything that has to do with me. I don't own my own. He owns me. Can you say, I belong to Jesus? Come on, say it out loud, would you? I belong to Jesus. You give him all. Give him everything. Give him everything. I'm telling you, it's so important. Now, here's another one. Very important. The world has pleasures, but the Holy Ghost has joys. Listen to me. The world has pleasures, but the Holy Ghost and the Christian life has joys. If you don't be careful, some of the little things of this world that offers pleasure will buy your attention. And while you are involved in that pleasure, the joy will probably dissipate and maybe even disappear. Because the pleasures of the world, are not all of them are bad. Not all of them are evil. It's not wrong to do little things that are enjoyable in, as far as it's just having a game of ball with your friends. There's things going hunting as some would enjoy. But that's not pleasure. That's eating, though, isn't it? But all these things, you've got to be careful. Don't sell your joy for pleasure. Could you say that with me? Don't sell your joy for pleasure. Don't sell your joy for pleasure. Think about what you enjoy as a pleasure the most. And make sure that that pleasure is kept in complete context with the mind and will of God in your life. Hallelujah. It's so extremely important. Oh, so extremely. They'll buy you. They'll offer you all kinds of things. I remember going to the last retreat I went to with the denomination before we became separate from them. And I remember a great brother, a leader, a doctor of divinity. I could call his name, but I won't do that. I don't think nobody here would know him. He's already gone on. But he came up to me at this retreat, and I was so bothered. They had made it a golfing trip. When all the years before, it had been prayer meetings and Bible studies and digging in. You know, a minister's retreat. We was at Black Mountain at the Blue Ridge Assembly Grounds. I could take you to the door I was standing when this dear brother approached me. And he said to me, "Joe, if you could just kind of go with the flow of this church, we've got a place for you." I looked at him and I said, "My brother, I am not interested in going anywhere for anybody's promise of something. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want the will of God in my life. Nothing else matters." Now I want you to decide with me when it comes to any kind of pleasure, any kind of opportunity, any kind of position, any kind of amount of money, anything in the world that might get offered to you. And don't you think that something's not going to be offered to you. Every one of you are going to be challenged when it comes to godly living, and you've got to make up your mind. I don't sell to nobody. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'm spending too long on these points, but they are very important. I'm telling you, the devil is after every one of us. He wants to compromise you. I have no passion to be wealthy. Nothing can get you quicker than the passion to be wealthy. Now, it's not wrong to make good money. It's not wrong to make more money than you're making. You're some of the givenest people I've ever been around in my life. I don't think we've ever had our church so given as this church is in giving. But don't ever let yourself become hungry for wealth. Let God give you what he wants to give you. Work hard. Be a good employer with your company. I mean, if they put you up, take the offer and just let Jesus count in all of it. But don't ever get passionate about wealth. Is this okay? Is anybody don't like this kind of preaching? I'm sorry. I'm not mean to offend nobody. But I just don't want you to get your eyes on money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. I want you to know this morning, my wife and I did it years ago. We just gave up any kind of worry about money. When I heard that the old building over here on Little Rock Road was being sold to the public school system and that they were paying them $3 million to take over that building, and that they had to go in there and take the cross off the wall, and they had to take the steeple off the top of the church, and all of these things they're doing, they're in the process of doing to buy that building. I want you to know I grieved for days. I thought, Lord, look at how much Marlon Clark and Keith Clark and Terry Chamber, Terry was really too young back then. But several other men, we labored and we worked and we skinned every knuckle we had. I left blood all over that place. I really did. I don't mind. I put everything my mom and my wife and I did, everything we got our fingers on, in the process at the end, building ourselves a little house. God was good to us. And all these things are good. But listen, don't ever get your eyes on being wealthy. Don't ever get your eyes on being wealthy. Money can rust and rot and become a burden on your soul and drown you spiritually. Just let God meet all your needs. He said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. Woo! That sounds a lot of needs supplied, don't it? According to his riches in glory. Oh, Brother Charles, it's wonderful. It's wonderful how God will take care of you. So don't get your eyes on money. I'm talking about the natural things now. I know the things we're all going to face. We're going to face them. You young men, very talented. Who knows what kind of job you'll get offered? Who knows when you get that job, how the boss man may want to pump you up and prime you and move you on up the ladder and make some kind of I know people. I'll keep it a little. So I'll not make it too personal. I know people that I love so dearly, and the world has just bought them. The world has just bought them. That's all you can say. The world has bought them with money, with promise, with high salaries, with all kinds of things. I'm not for sale. I'm not for... Somebody help me shout. I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. Here's something very important. God must hold your tomorrow. The world, I am amazed. I try to listen to Rush a little bit and Sean Hannaby a little bit and some of this news. I want to keep up with where the world's going. And all they talk about is getting your wealth ready for some great future with all kinds of money. I've got a sister. I guess her and her husband are retired on about $10,000 a month. They travel all over the world. I mean, they just sold to the world. She called me back during the election time and said, Joe, am I your favorite sister? I said, I'll make you my favorite sister if you'll do something I'm asking you to do. She said, what is it? I said, vote for Trump instead of Hillary. Oh, you ought to have heard the other end of that phone. Woo! She's a Hillary fan. And I just said, I'll make you my favorite if you vote for Trump instead of Hillary. And I don't think she spoke to me since. Maybe she has, I'm not sure. But I want to tell you something, friend. Listen to me, are you listening? I've got my future in the hands of God, and I'm not worried about tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow, so I don't have a worry in this world. How much money you got in the bank? That don't make any difference. I know who holds my future. I know who's got a hold of every one of my needs. I know what God's doing to take care of this servant. Somebody raise your hand and say, I put my future in God's hands. The world will make you so burdened to get your future planned so that you can retire with these huge, huge retirement checks and you can see the world. I'm going to see the world when it's been made righteous. And I don't care about seeing it in its nasty state. Anybody join me in that? I really don't. I don't care about it. I got a call from Andrew over in Germany. Papa, I'll buy you a ticket and a round trip and bring you over here if you'll come to see me. I said no, but I've changed my mind. You know what? We got a letter from a church in Wittenberg. Who knows where Wittenberg is? Come on, let me see your hand. Germany. That's where the Reformation started. That's where the Reformation started. That's where Martin Luther nailed the theses to the Wittenberg Chapel and started the Great Reformation that brought literally millions to Jesus Christ by faith in the Son of God. Hallelujah. I got a letter from a church there and a $200 check. And the pastor said, Brother Chambers, you don't know what your internet means to us in our church. You have fed us and you helped us and strengthened us. We want to send you a little check just to let you know our appreciation. A church in Wittenberg, Germany. Would somebody say praise the Lord? You mind saying praise the Lord? Hallelujah. And now, if God is doing things like that, why do we need to worry about tomorrow? Why do we need to worry about the future? Why do we need to worry about, you know, when I'm too old to do anything? But trust, I'm just going to trust. As long as I don't ever get too old to trust, I don't have nothing to worry about. Hallelujah. Somebody help me shout. Man, you're just so quiet. You've been dead ever since church started this morning. Somebody raise a hand and say hallelujah, will you? Come on, praise the Lord with it. Let God know you're glad to be in the house of the Lord. And you don't want this world. And you're not going to be captured by it either. I will not be captured by this world. I will not be captured by this world. One more thing here, and then I will move on. Listen, very, very important. Any plan, and this is big, be quiet. Any plan that you've got in your life, any plan, buy a car, buy a house, take a different job, learn. Nothing should ever be done that you don't wait on God's direction. The ways of a saint is directed by the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. I remember a car I bought not long ago before I got my present car, and I just had it on a whim. I'm out there one day and I go by and I make a trade. And I got, it was the worst deal I ever had in my life. It was terrible. And the Lord said to me, if you would wait on me, you wouldn't get in those kind of situations. Now, I know I'm on a very, very dangerous territory. There are very few people in today's church world that ask God anything about anything they do. They buy and sell. They do this and that. They go here and they go there. And they never say, God, what would you have today? I have learned before I go out to eat to pray for God to direct me so that I can share Jesus in the restaurant. I've learned to do nothing. I don't want my life guided. I don't want my future guided. I don't want nothing guided but by the will of God. The Bible says very plainly, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8. I'm here to tell you, if you'll let God lead you, he'll lead you through wonderful places. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in the still waters. He puts a table before me. Listen, church, he will guide your life if you'll let him. And if you'll let God guide your life, you'll never become captivated by the world. If you are prone to make your own choices and do your own things, anytime you get ready, how you please, you're going to get in trouble. The world's going to get you. The world's going to capture you. How many of you know people? How many of you that don't know, half, three-fourths, maybe more than that, of all the people that you've seen get saved that are now back in the world? How many of you know so many of those people? Do you mind raising a hand? I heard just yesterday that Billy Graham said, when I go back to a city where I've had a crusade, and if I can find 20% of the people who made a decision in that crusade that are still in church serving God, I believe I have been a success. I would say the percentage is much, much less than that in our Pentecostal churches. I would surmise, Sister Lucille is shaking her head big time. You've had how many years in the church, Lucille? 50? 40? A lot of years. I wouldn't want her to tell me of all the wonderful people who got right with God, but who didn't last long and was gone back to the world. How many do we know in our family, your family, and my family, and all the families of this church? What happened, Brother Chambers? The world captured them. That's just how simple. There's no other way to say it. They got captured by the world. They were careless. We didn't teach them good enough. I wasn't strong enough as a shepherd. Really? I take part of the blame. I heard a name of the day of somebody that's out there living dark in sin. And a member of my family was instrumental in their backsliding. And I called and said to them, I'm taking the responsibility of what happened to you. And I'm on my face until you get back to God and get right with God. It wasn't me. It was someone in my family that offended you and took away your level of devotion. And now I'm just going to take a burden for you. Listen to me. The world is full of people that used to know the Lord. But they got captured by the devil. Oh, you heard everything I preached so far? I hope you'll remember. I'm going to have those 8 points written down on a paper for Wednesday night. But I want you to think about all of them. And don't plan anything the rest of your life that you don't ask God to direct you. And don't get out there on your own making these big decisions. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And many of the things you're dealing with. Now, I want to talk about this great truth. The Bible says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, the things I've named maybe deals a little bit with these three things, but not to any great degree. These three things are battles in your person. These are three things that you're going to deal with. Number one, the lust of your flesh. You got to understand, friend, you got a flesh that has an Adam nature in it. And that Adam nature is as unclean as an old snake. That Adam nature is as dark as the darkest devil in the pit of hell. You understand? That old nature of Adam is a dangerous thing. And that nature of Adam is what puts great feelings in the lust of your flesh. A lust is not a bad thing until it becomes bad. It's just a desire. All lust is a heavy desire, a strong desire. And when it becomes evil, it's a desire out of control. And every one of us are going to face desires. We're going to face feelings. We're going to face emotions. You're going to be tempted in one way or the other, one fashion or another. Everybody may be tempted different. Every one of us have a different response mechanism to different things. But God wants you to make sure that old flesh is sanctified, because the lust of the flesh is of the world, and it passeth away. It doesn't last long. It's just an instant feeling. A gradual feeling, a slow feeling, and even a destruction. But God will set you free of it. I don't want no lust God in my life. How about you? Raise your hand and say, God, I reckon my body free from the lust of the flesh. I reckon my body sanctified, that the flesh of the world can't rule my life. The lust of the flesh. You say, my flesh could never want to do things like that. I am amazed. I've had dreams, and I'd get up and say, Father, where did that come from? I feel dirty. He'd just say, that old nature called Adam. It's still there, but he's in a cage, but he's beating against the door, trying to tear the cage wall down. And I'm saying, no, no, no. And I'm the one who decide. Did you know that you decide what effect lust is going to have on you? How many of you know that? Lust when it hath conceived. This is in James 1. Lust when it hath conceived bringeth forth sin. And sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Oh, lust is a nasty thing. You faced it. Yeah, I faced it. See, it isn't anything wrong with the bird that flies over your head. But there's something wrong when you let him set a nest in your hair. You understand? You understand? Lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. I'm going to tell you something. You need to be careful shopping, ladies. You be careful going into these stores today. I mean, some of that stuff is so nasty. I can't even stand a shopping mall anymore. I feel so out of whack. I was in a shopping mall not long before Mama died, and we walked in, and they had a bunch of little girls up there, and they was putting on a beauty contest with little girls, 4 and 5 and 6, and they had them looking like they were from Hollywood. I mean, they had them decked out. All earrings, lipstick on their lips. Just looking like something from Hollywood. And this 5 years old. I got so mad. I started up there and my wife had to hold me, brother. I was fixing to tear into that crowd but I was upset. Do that to those little girls. What's wrong with you? Somebody help me. Am I okay? Am I preaching okay? Is this okay, Brother Marlon? Is this okay, Brother Charles? Listen to me. Lust of the eye is a terrible thing. You make sure you look not on those things that are unclean. Oh, you keep your eyes pure. And the pride of life. All these three things come out of the Adamic nature. You got to understand that. All these things affect the Adamic. You are not, what's the right word here? It isn't God himself that tempts you. That's the word I'm trying to say. You're not tempted by God. You're tempted by your own flesh. That's what James says. You're tempted by your own flesh. You're tempted by the thing. You allow yourself to hang around something unclean. And before you know it, you'll think it's pretty. You allow yourself to look at something that's dirty. And before you know it, you'll think maybe I'd enjoy it. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, sanctify it. You sanctify it like I've been hearing yesterday and last Sunday night. And, you know, we've been hearing it from Brother Dylan and then yesterday from Brother Marlon. And it's beautiful. See, if you want this old lust put to death, you desire the death. You declare the death. And then you believe the blood and the work of the Word and the power of the Holy Ghost to do the work. And before you know it, you'll feel clean. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. I've had lust come at me like a river. I'd cry out. I reckon myself in. Indeed, clean from that lustful feeling, and I declare the likeness of Christ manifest in me, and I feel the holiness of God springing up in my soul. He would do it for me, sanctified by the blood. Sanctified by the blood. How many want to be sanctified by the blood? You want that old man dead. You want that old man crucified. Don't tell me he's not there. There's nobody that don't have him there. He's after you. The devil wants to use your lust to capture you. Oh, it'll take you so far you can't get back. That's where we prayed for Tyler Graber last week. I don't know, have you ever prayed for Mike Hill, my son-in-law? Same condition. I remember some we prayed for and they've been delivered. Oh, yes. This precious wife can be delivered. Are you praying for Becky? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Anybody's praying for Becky? Come on, raise your hand up. Raise your hand up if you, all right, maybe you're not praying for her, I'm sorry. But if you aren't, start. Believe God. I want you to know, it don't matter what this old flesh does to somebody and how far down it takes them, as long as they have not blasphemed the Holy Ghost, the blood of Jesus is able to reach into that life all nasty and all dark and all ugly and just absolutely transform it and make something beautiful and wonderful out of it. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the power of Christ to transform. The power of Christ to change and to make you what he wants you to be. Now, I want to conclude by going to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Trying my best not to preach too long. Oh, it's almost 11 o'clock. That's in Mississippi. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to verse 15. We'll keep it short. Time's up. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I got to bring this down here to you. Now look at me. Everybody in this building, please give your pastor a moment. Oh God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold. Not hot. Do you know honest truth? A lot of you acted like you was awful cold this morning. I kept trying to get you to worship. And I know one thing. I was surely enjoying the presence of the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me he won't hear, brother. I know he was because I was feeling him. I know that works. That thou neither cold nor hot. I was thou wilt eat the coal or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Oh God. Help me. Raise your hand, help me with you as I try to bring this. I don't know how you feel. But I don't deal with the truth of God's word anymore without hurting, without aching. I was trying to say that first word that got cooked up there. Without aching. I ache because I see the church as a whole so lacking in the moving of the Holy Ghost. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I think of me with the Holy Ghost, I'm not excited about me being so great even with the Holy Ghost. What would I be without the Holy Ghost? I'd be a mess. And so would you. Raise your hand with me if you're listening to me, would you? And just hold it a minute. If ever we've needed to be on fire with the fire of the Holy Ghost. If ever we've needed to get to the place with God where we will not tolerate an old cold spiritual condition. You can't afford to tolerate it when you haven't felt the Holy Ghost all week. You can't afford to tolerate it when you come to church and the Lord moves to the place and you just watch what's going on. You can't afford to tolerate that. It's lukewarmness. And the church world is full of it. We've been captured. Don't tell me this church, you and I, to a degree, have been captured by those things around us, those things we deal with, our responsibility on the job, all the things we do in a week's time, all the places we go, having to work among people that are just absolutely rebellious against God. It takes a toll out of you. Did you know the Bible said of Lot that his righteous soul was tormented day by day by the unwicked deeds of Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember that scripture? It just absolutely destroys me some days to see what I see, to hear what I hear, to feel what I feel in this crazy world. And I'm doing my best to live closer to God than ever in my life. I've never enjoyed praying so much in my life. I've never felt so much of the Holy Ghost when I go to praying. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. But I still feel tormented by everything I see in our world. And I want us to get on fire right here at Paul Creek. I want us to become prayer warriors. I want us to be men and women so full of the Holy Ghost that we are literally a fireball for Christ, on fire with the Spirit of God, burning with the Holy Ghost of God. Woo! Somebody raise a hand and shout hallelujah. I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm ready to be on fire. Anybody ready to be on fire? Oh, call it yes. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I've got so much I want to preach this morning, but I know I must conclude. I want to tell you something, church. The devil is after you. But it's up to you to not let him have you. And I want to tell you that the devil can do nothing that either you or God, one, don't let him do. You and God have complete authority over the devil. You have more authority by yourself than you know. The devil can't just come up and possess you and take over your life. He can't do it. He's got to have your permission. God's got to temporarily turn him loose on somebody that's a real saint of God, only to try them, only to prove them, only for God to take care of them. So I'm here to tell you this morning, the devil wants to capture you. The devil wants to capture you. Yes, he does. He wants to get you a young man. He don't want you young fellas full of the Holy Ghost and fire. He's giving you a fit getting back here in church where you can get what you need, you and Jessica. Oh, it's so good to have you, dear people. The devil don't like us going to a place where the Bible is preached in all of its fullness and all of its power. He'll do everything he can against you, Latasha. Everything he can. He'll do everything he can against you, every one of you. But square your shoulders. And just say, I'm surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to live by that Bible. I'm going to say no to anything that contradicts the Bible, anything that would take away from my love of the house of God, from my faithfulness. I mean, we've got a bunch of folks here that you just don't miss the house of God. Well, I believe that's how every Christian ought to be. You ought to be committed to the house of God. And if you're not, something's wrong. Okay? Okay? I have got to be on fire. I've got to be full of the Holy Ghost more than ever I've known. Would you stand if you feel the same thing? Don't stand till you feel it now. Don't stand till you want it now. Are you willing to pray until God makes you a fireball of prayer? I'm telling you, there's enough saints of God in this building. If we pray like I'm trying to get us praying, like I'm doing my best to lead you in praying, like Brother Marlon is helping me lead and others are helping me lead. I want to tell you something. We'll set this place on fire and sinners will come because they'll feel it. They'll feel it going down the street. Let me tell you what happened to me last week. I was in Burlington and I was there with a brother-in-law, used to be. And he was 15 when I got saved at 16. His dad was the clerk of the church. He's been divorced and remarried for many years. I'd never been to his home in over 30 years since the divorce occurred. But he's dying. And I had a passion for him. And I went to visit. And across from me at the table was a neighbor. His mother's brother-in-law. No, his mother's nephew. His brother's nephew, mother's nephew. And I said, do y'all remember when the Holy Ghost came down on the Burlington church and fire set up on the roof and they had to call the fire department? And this man said, I was fixing to tell you about that, Reverend Chambers. My mother and we lived across the street from the church. And I remember my mother come running in the room where I was at and saying, come quickly. The church has got fire on the top of it. And he said, I ran out of my room and ran out where mother was looking, and I saw the fire on the top of the church. I said, I was just fixing to tell about that. That's what the church of God used to be. You remember hearing about it, the old stories? Never saw it, have you? I never saw it either. I never saw it either. But I'm sure looking for it. I just can't wait till we hear the fire trucks are coming. And the Holy Ghost is a-moving. And the Holy Ghost is falling in this place. And sinners are running in the doors. And cars are driving up and saying, what's going on? And they're finding Christ. And here comes the fire department. We saw fire up on top of the church. You can't put it out because it took us too long to light it. Hallelujah. And God's fire falling. I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for that. I'm telling you, we can have that if you are willing with me to pray like men that are desperate and will not give up. Woo! How many of you want a Holy Ghost breakthrough? Sovereign Holy Ghost breakthrough. Heaven, of course. Oh, hallelujah. I feel his sweetness this morning. He wants to help us. We must stop the devil capturing so many people, even among us. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Hallelujah. You and I, the more we're on fire, the less the devil can capture people from our midst. Did you hear that? The more we're on fire, the less the devil can capture people from our midst. I'm hungry for my children. I'm hungry for my children. I'm hungry for your children. Your children, every one of you. Hallelujah. I've preached over time, so I'm not going to bring you to the altar this morning, if you don't mind. I'm going to get you to use your pew as an altar. Right there. Every part of this church is an altar. This is the center. This is where the altar sits, but you're just as much at the altar standing here in front of it as you would be kneeling on top of it. Amen? Amen. So would you raise your hands and tell God you're giving him all? Tell God you're giving him all. Tell God he's going to be the Lord from this day forward. Tell God you'll make no decisions that you haven't put to prayer and got God's word and God's direction. You'll go nowhere that God hasn't said it's okay for you to go. Tell God you will not take off to a birthday party on the Lord's Day and miss the house of God. I just think that's a sin. I think it's wrong for them to plan it, but it would be even more wrong for me to go to it. I just believe that the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. If it's in the area and it's just down the street, I would be okay. Oh, but to leave church and to go out of town and miss the house of God, never, 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 never. I belong to God. This house is His house. Hallelujah. This is where I come to surrender my soul. Raise your hands and give Him your life. Would you give Him your life? Come if you would, Brother Joe, and sing for us as we bring it to a close. I believe that I've preached to you the Word of God this morning. I really do. I believe I preached to you what will turn this church upside down. You agree with that? But we got to quit letting the devil capture our time and our emotions and our interests and taking us off away from a deep devotion to the Lord. Let's pray together, would you? Father, I love this group of people. They're mine. Being their pastor is my joy. Oh God, until the land is wasted without inhabitants, oh, you take me home. I'm yours to preach this glorious gospel. I love you, Lord. Singing for us. I love you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Let's sing it together.
I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me.
And I long to rise.
And I long to rise in the arms of faith
and
be closer. We shall see the King when He comes. For He is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? For my home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. And we shall see the King when He comes. Oh yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when He comes. My brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King, and Lord of all? And the kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall, and we shall see the King when He comes. Oh yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when He comes. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. And it may be evening, morning, or at noon. It's the wedding of the bride, united with the groom. And we shall see the King. Come on, let's sing it. Oh yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King.